Welcome to the Shutdown Full Cast. This is our first full off-season version of the Full Cast, just to keep you familiar with how this particular podcast works. We are going to be discussing college football and other things, usually on Wednesday. Usually record on Tuesday, go on Wednesday in the off-season. Maybe a rogue emergency version every now and then. Maybe we do one for the Oscars. I don't know. Maybe we do one for something we feel equally passionate about. What would that be, Ryan Nanny?
Dolly Parton. That's what it would be. Happy birthday, Dolly. I love you.
Happy birthday, Dolly.
I think
she turned 70 today on this Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I can probably say definitively the most important person in my life.
So this is the one person that you are on record as saying that you feel you would be too emotionally compromised to ever like interview or do anything with professionally, right?
I can meet God a lot more easily.
Okay.
Yeah, with God, I'd be like, well, whatever, that's God. But then Dolly'd walk in the room and I'd completely lose my shit. Because she's been there so many times for me in life. She was in Rhinestone. She was in Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. She did her own show. She later appeared on VH1 Classic doing songs that I remember hearing with my grandfather on WSM in Nashville. I mean, she's been everything. She was Glastonbury 2014. She made a Collective Soul song good. Do you know how hard that is to do?
It's pretty hard.
But
nobody else has done that.
No, literally no one. No one said, oh, I'll do a cover of a Collective Soul song, because they know it'll be like trying to polish a like rusty soda can. But dang him, she did it. And did it well. And she was in 9 to 5, which, I don't know, she tied up Dabney Coleman and like whipped him.
Yeah, in a dream sequence. It was wonderful.
Might have been a formative experience for more than one young boy watching that film on basic cable.
9 to 5 is a... What year did 9 to 5 come out?
Man, that might be 1980.
It is... You're right on the dot. The very tail end of 1980. And it is the, like, earliest 80s movie I've ever seen. Because it just has... The story is just thin enough to hang a movie on. But beyond that, it's just like, hey, what if just Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin and Dolly Parton all just did fun shit and smoked weed?
It sounds like the way you said it. It sounds like that movie came out and they realized, oh shit, we got to flip the calendar. It's the 80s now.
It's not.
This movie does not belong in the 70s.
It's not dissimilar. That is fairly accurate.
We should also note that in addition to this, I'm just going to go ahead and unload the cool facts about Dolly Parton. She gave Porter Wagner back his entire publishing catalog because she had money like that. She bought a damn theme park because she had money like that. That theme park, Dollywood, will let you take your dog into the theme park itself.
You're not going to bring up Dixie Stampede?
I'm going to keep going, okay? She was in Steel Magnolias, okay? Which is acceptable viewing for any man who really wants to get in touch with their feelings, damn it. Olympia Dukakis decided tonight with a couple of friends at dinner, she's Southern, just by virtue of that movie. I know she's not from here. We're just going to go ahead and induct her. That's fine. We adopted her. She's the emotional heart of that movie, even though she's in it for like 7 minutes. And she'll send your kid a book. Like, I realized not today in Tennessee. Apparently, it's like all over the United States. Dolly Parton will just send your kids a book until they're like 14 or 12 or something.
Because she was poor as shit.
Yes. So keep in mind, East Tennessee produced the two greatest Americans of our time, which would be Steve Spurrier and Dolly Parton.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong.
Our time? That seems like two or three times ago.
No. This is our time. That's fine. That could be okay. Someone else's time.
I'm not calling them old. I'm saying, can we really claim them?
I'm going to start saying that other people came from East Tennessee, right? Young Jeezy came from East Tennessee.
Not far, South Carolina.
Mahatma Gandhi, East Tennessee.
Not far.
No.
Kind of far.
East Zanzibar. Pretty sure that's where he was born.
Wolverine.
It's got mountains.
Wolverine,
totally. Hugh Jackman and Wolverine. Do you know Hugh Jackman's Instagram account, which is actually better than Hugh Jackman, born in East Tennessee?
Wow.
all totally true. So happy birthday, Dolly. So many amazing facts, so many accomplishments, and we didn't even mention Hard Candy Christmas.
Oh, man. Don't do this. I'm going to get emotional.
I know. Going to tear up. Sorry. So, yes, Dolly Parton and her... We didn't even mention Jolene. We didn't mention Joshua.
There's a lot we didn't mention. She was on Designing Women.
How, like, the accomplishments are too numerous to list. I will say Joshua's my favorite song of hers because it's about her going to the scariest man in town and falling in love with him.
I feel bad for the people who heard us, who sat through 20 seconds of us talking about Dolly Parton and bailed. They fucked up.
They did. If you can, if you just turn this back on, like, maybe we'll give it another chance, turn it back off. You don't deserve it.
Because here come 20 more seconds about Dolly Parton. Followed by...
We all were at the national title game, I think, which we regarded as a unanimous success.
Yeah, it was
the game itself. Yeah,
it was entertaining. And, yeah, and apparently economical to get to if you wanted a ticket last minute.
Very much so.
What was your you didn't have to purchase a ticket, did you?
No, I managed to skeeze one off of a corporate contact.
Okay, because I feel like that would have been. I really kind of wish you had just tailed somebody trying to desperately unload four tickets at the end of the near the start of kickoff, and just
we might ought to do that.
Just see like the descent.
Maybe we do that next year for the late New Year's Eve playoff game.
What and or the final because
that one might be here in Atlanta, and we have a number of ticket salesmen.
Well, I'm sure.
As it is, pretty much any time you're anywhere near the dome, someone's trying to sell you tickets. So those fellows will be working triple time.
And then there's the championship game in Tampa, where I'm sure there won't be any issues with fraud or other flimflammery.
Can I remind you of this? That these end up where? Where for next year?
Yeah, we're
the semis are in Atlanta and Phoenix.
No. I'm talking about let's get to the final. Where's that final next year?
Home. We're going home, boys.
Yeah, I thought Ryan already said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tampa.
Tampa.
We're going to Tampa. Which is like I always lean on Ryan for this, but I want to remind you of how hard the college football playoff has already screwed up an otherwise decent concept. in year three saying let's take this to the marquee location of Tampa.
I mean, there are a handful of good arguments in favor of Tampa. One,
there is
that
a football field.
There is a football field.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the weather will definitely not be like it was kind of cold and crappy in Phoenix a lot of the time we were there.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all.
You never think weather is bad. I don't want to hear from you.
It was like 55 degrees.
It was
back of a convertible, matter of fact.
It was fine.
It was fine, but it was not as nice as it could have been. It will be nicer in Tampa.
Ooh.
Tampa has I will say great things about Tampa's airport, maybe because it often means you're leaving, but it's efficient. It's easy to get to from several national hubs. I think Tampa is going to secretly be a success and also a total shit show.
I don't know. Let's keep in mind you said Tampa's going to have better weather than 55 sunny and dry and no wind at all.
I do want to point out though that we should all just prepare ourselves for the possibility that we have a national championship game in Tampa, Florida, including the Florida State Seminoles, because that's a possibility we should all. Just, I'm not saying it's going to happen. That's not a prognostication. But I'm also saying don't rule it out. And then try to understand what that means.
I will say this. If you go to Tampa, the great challenge will be, one, finding anything to train a camera on besides the collection of bank buildings in the middle of town.
True. There are bridges that people jump off of to die.
So
you can film a documentary.
There's the University of Tampa, which has Russian-inspired architecture, because even they were like, God, you know what sounds better in Tampa? Russia.
Yep. There's, let's see, El Cap over in St. Pete.
Mm-hmm.
for your scenic hamburger. Yeah. So they'll just go over to St. Pete and film it, and the like 20 people who are actually from St. Petersburg will get real bent about this.
There's going to be – somebody's going to get – I predict at least one of the team members of whoever is represented in this game is going to get thrown out of Busch Gardens.
Okay. Yeah. Did you get thrown out of Busch Gardens when you lived in Tampa?
No. Because, I mean, there's literally nothing else to do in Tampa. You can't get thrown out of Busch Gardens, man.
There's – you can go touch the dolphins from the dolphin movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's the ocean is close.
There's the world's second largest Salvador Dali museum.
Second largest.
Because why not?
It's true. There's High Line. My favorite thing about Tampa Bay High Line is they have a very large thing that says no handguns in Tampa Bay High Line, please. It's a very large sign.
Yeah, there's it's
bustling. There are lots of shirts with lots of shops with beach shirts.
Sure, even if they're not near the beach.
Yeah, with sayings on them, fart jokes.
Right.
Yeah, or you could go to Historic Ybor.
Oh.
Yeah, where you can do a shot off of an ice block, as your forefathers and their forefathers before them did.
There are, I would wager there are more McDonald's per capita than just about anywhere on Earth. The most McDonald's per capita I've ever seen.
Checkers. There's
Checkers really has dug in there pretty well. But he's right. There are a fair amount of McDonald's.
Otherwise, it's going to be pretty dismal. There's not much to do in Tampa but get out of it.
It's going to be great. We're going to have a great time, you guys. I'm so excited.
It's going to be fantastic. Do you have – this is the off season. We are entering the off season. And I will spring a surprise on you, which is this. Your off season goals, because I know I always said, oh, here's everything I'll get done in the off season. I end up doing two of them out of a list of eight. But Jason, do you have any off season goals? Things that you would like to accomplish now that you have an entire day and a half to 2 days freed up out of your life?
Well, I usually try to get sort of back into shape, and to try and run a couple 10Ks and whatever. That's not really a new goal though. That's sort of I have to do this or else I won't survive next season thing. As far as new stuff, I haven't put much thought into it yet.
Really. Ryan?
I just want to read non-sports things. I'm very happy to read non-sports things.
Are you a fiction or non-fiction reader?
I used to read a lot of fiction, but I haven't in the last couple of years, so I'm going to try to catch up big time.
Yes, that's because you live in the real world now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't read fiction after you actually enter the real world.
Well, and it's too easy to fall into the dad fiction thing where you're like, huh, this is, the history of the submarine. Well, I'll read this. That sounds interesting. I'll learn something.
Yeah, damn it, that's fascinating.
I know.
Because every other show would be a young man torn between his history, a young man in Williamsburg, Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go on.
Yeah.
You're describing Roger, so.
Roger Sherman.
The handsome man.
A man obsessed with pudding.
That's a book title right there.
A man obsessed with pudding. Yeah.
Boom.
My favorite, there's this entire school of literature that's middle-aged women who only summer on Cape Cod,
mm-hmm,
having affairs.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entire school of literature that's she summered on Cape Cod and fell in love with the carpenter.
Do you think Kate Chopin is that's not what I wrote The Awakening for? God damn it. It wasn't a how-to, you dumbasses.
I just there's this entire school of scumbag lady literature,
uh-huh,
that's really dollied up and dressed up. If a dude wrote it, it's yeah, I went and had sex with this hot chick. Yeah, it was really cool.
A dude would write it terribly.
It'd be three pages.
Yeah.
Be so I had sex.
And her name was Amber, and she was super hot.
There's this entire scumbag lady candidate of literature that's 300 pages of emotionally, this is what I needed most at that time. That's what I needed.
The other thing I'm going to try to do this off season is start a side business And that side business is in the lucrative industry of moms who like wine and who want like shirts or trivets or other paraphernalia. That it doesn't even have to make sense. It can just say something like, "My other car is Chardonnay." And like white moms love that shit.
Team Pinot Noir.
Uh-huh.
The sticker for the back of the Hyundai Santa Fe. Just put it right on there.
Don't bother me before I've had my Chablis. That doesn't sound... It's great.
My goal is to just sort of regain my sanity somewhat. That's it.
How's that going?
Very poorly.
Okay.
I'm going to be real frank. It's not going real well. But
where's the meter at right now?
Oh, it's nose is just above water. So
this is a good time to bring up, fair listener, that inevitably Spencer will have to leave to do something, and Jason and I are going to have to do the show by ourselves, and we know you hate it, and we don't give a fuck.
Nope. Yeah, they don't, and I don't. You know what? I don't either. That's great. I think they should learn to deal with that. This is part of your maturation as a human being.
We will have Brian Floyd and his shit ass internet connection on every episode for a month.
This is part of your maturation as a listener.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
You have to become a better listener. It's not us. It's you that has to level up here.
This is Stockholm syndrome, okay?
Because when Spencer is on, it's like the Chinese buffet. You're just like, oh, this is all so delicious, and it's basically free, and I'll eat as much of it as I can. But when it's just me and Jason, it becomes more like a conceptual art restaurant, where it's like, really the experience is about what's not on the plate. Now, yeah, here's one frozen pea. That's $80.
Yeah, it's one of them restaurants where the chef just woke up this morning and he did not feel like using any, you know, vegetables.
Mm-hmm. So Waffle House.
Well, I guess that would apply there.
Yeah, there's actually one vegetable at Waffle House. That's it. There's some spinach that they'll do with the like skinny chicken platter. Otherwise, that's it.
You can get some iceberg lettuce.
Can you get some iceberg?
Yeah, it's you say
you got to bring it yourself though.
You got to shoot it yourself out back.
The
way to get some iceberg is to ask for garden on whatever you order.
On your eggs.
Yeah.
Like the garden eggs.
I was going to say this is like if you go to Waffle House and you say iceberg lettuce is a vegetable, they're like, "Oh, you're one of us." You're Georgian.
It's true.
Hey, we're going to answer some reader questions. I thought we would do that tonight to ease into this off season, a vast off season where, you know, the next marker in this calendar year is signing day. And we'll talk about that.
Are we?
Sure. Just a little.
All right.
But yeah, not now.
Not this week. No.
Okay. Because yeah. I don't know shit about recruiting.
Yeah, I don't either until like a week before. And then you find out like Christmas, you're like, oh, I looked in the closet and I'm getting a G.I. Joe hovercraft.
Oh,
like,
no, the G.I. Joe hovercraft committed to Miami. Shit.
That tag says somebody else other than me. No. Yeah, that's recruiting. We're going to get into that eventually. I just want people to know it's down the road. But over the years, I think we've taken on a rather blasé approach to this. There's people who care about it, and you just let them care about it, right?
Thank you,
bud. They do a great job, Bud Elliott. Thank you, bud. You're a blessed.
Yeah, maybe, I mean, I keep up with it, but it's fine that
you're... Shut up. Let Bud have his day in the sun.
I don't mean to brag, but I'm pretty aware of what's happening in recruiting.
Bud, yeah. Bud, don't listen to him. We're proud of you.
So, not as aware as Bud.
I was going to say, Jason, so you're really tracking... Rose of Rosie D'Angelitopoulos, right? Where's he going?
Yep, he's going to Mitsu. I'm afraid to say.
Do you have a spreadsheet?
No, I.
then you know what? Get out of here.
Listen, listen. If we're comparing me to Bud Elliott and his supersized laptop screen and his phablet that he needs to keep track of all his recruiting spreadsheets, then no. I guess I don't pay any attention at all. But compared to you two, I pay a lot of attention.
Hey, he also needs the phablet so he can film himself asking recruits which emoji is most on fleek.
And so he can Periscope recruiting events while asking his Periscope followers for golf scores.
Did he do that?
Yeah. This was a day when I was on vacation and I was checking in. How are things going? Getting live golf scores while Periscoping some recruiting events. Okay, good. Sounds like everything's fine.
Can one of you ask Bud if we can do a live shutdown full cast at his wedding?
Oh, yeah, we could.
Okay.
Yeah, we probably ought to.
We can figure this out.
Yeah. But it'll just be like, yeah, you got to help load and unload, you know? Y'all are going to have to be cater waiters. That'll save me, though.
I think he'll make us sing or something like that.
Happily.
I mean, Ryan and I still need to do Easy Lover.
That's right.
Yeah. You're on Philip Bailey's parts, right?
Yep. Proudly.
I'm on Phil Collins, and I'm going to tuck my pants into some pleated khakis and rock this thing. It's going to happen.
You're on synth, Jason.
Okay, yeah.
So, questions. I have one that I would like to answer. Actually, I have two. We'll just run an option here. We'll do a round.
Indulge yourself.
Fuck it.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have anything else to discuss. There's not football for like another year. There's a whole year between now
and an entire calendar year.
There are 12 years.
17 months.
Man, remember this moment right now when it's August and we look up like, oh, God, there's football in 2 weeks.
You can go and get your medical degree in the time it takes for football season to
return. We have our whole lives ahead of us right now, boys. Yeah. Take a few months to relax.
Yeah, it's like Interstellar. The offseason actually moves at 27 years per hour.
I thought you were going to say this is like inner space, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're the Martin Short in my head, Ryan.
It's like inner vision.
Uh-huh. It's like inner vision.
I can't remember which songs are on that
The
album.
Stevie Wonder album.
Mm-hmm.
The classic, which I believe has You Are the Sunshine of My Life on it.
Mm. Later on, if we have time, I will tell you about Stevie Wonder and the most smooth dad lineup of music ever coming to New Orleans Jazz Fest this summer. But please, let's answer some questions.
I'm sorry, that has Don't You Worry About a Thing and Living for the City on it. And Higher Ground.
Yeah, that's a lot better than You Are My Sunshine or whatever you said.
Yeah, that song.
Smooth dad.
It's not better than Love, Light, and Flight, though. But still. My question is from Buster Bronco Esquire, a.k.a. Fernet Bronco. The question is, I know it's early for a preseason top 10, but which teams will be most disrespected next year? Oh, the disrespect!
I'm already mad.
Already cranking up here on January 19th, 2016. Just, I'll tell you what, the number one team that's most disrespected is your team.
Mm-hmm.
Just so much disrespect. Nobody's giving the shot. No one. Especially number two team, Alabama.
Yeah. Not unanimous number one. And even if they are unanimous, that's just of the voters. What about those who can't vote? Why didn't we ask them? That's bias. Well,
why didn't they let them vote?
Mm-hmm.
There's people out there doubting.
That's Acorn.
Ohio State's going to be up there. They always are.
Sure.
It's true. Because after finishing number one and number three, preseason polls got them lower in the top 10, which is even that might be a little generous because they're losing like their entire rosters. But still, I don't think that's going to faze Ohio State fans much. It's true. The losing the roster part, the ranking low in the top 10, that part will, yes.
Yeah. I'm going to give you LSU. Oh, Matt, massively disrespected. You just keep underestimating less. Just go on.
Ooh, I'll throw you one. Georgia.
Ooh, yeah. I mean,
why are you putting all this on the old regime? Mark Richt's gone.
Yeah. Florida State. What? Why are you calling Jimbo out? Jimbo's got a ring.
Yeah, I think the more Clemson gets talked up for next year, the more FSU will be disrespected.
Mm-hmm. Extremely.
Because other than a quarterback, FSU returns a whole lot more than Clemson.
Yeah, and also their fan base is kind of dim. So
yeah, and facts aside, this is less about what's coming back and more about the people who are rooting for what's coming back.
They're totally going to be in that Tampa title game, and Spencer won't even go.
No, why would I? I don't need to watch that.
Michigan State is, of course, always disrespected.
Yeah, that's like a program value at Michigan State.
Especially because they're gonna show up in the preseason rankings about 10 spots behind Michigan, mm-hmm. which they beat fair and square decisively last year, left no doubts at all on the field.
Wire to wire.
In that game.
Yeah.
Completely dominated them for 60 minutes.
Baylor? I think Baylor's like quietly climbing into the ranks of perpetually disrespected. Right?
Okay. I mean, maybe.
This season, yeah, because they won a bowl game. Like last year it was, you know, oh, well, you know, the last few years it's been, yeah, you had a good season, but, you know, the ending sort of shut you up. But now they got all that ball of momentum rolling.
And then there's the team that has respect to spare and would probably be happy to give some to you because, oh, God, the spotlight is hot. And that's Tennessee.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah, does anybody want to do some kind of like carbon exchange?
Are you feel disrespected? Boy, I would love to give you some AP votes.
So looking at the composite way too early top 25, Tennessee's 10.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee is ahead of the Rose Bowl champion, ahead of the Peach Bowl champion.
If we could just
ahead of the Sugar Bowl champion.
Get down to 17 or something where we could just sit quietly. That'd be awesome.
They want to be – like, I think this really should work like carbon credits, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Tennessee needs to trade down.
Yeah.
They need to be respect neutral. Like, we're college football's first respect neutral team. We traded down all of that abundance of respect for some disrespect so that we are technically respect neutral.
People really respect Monsanto now.
It's yeah, cool. It's amazing. Like, they traded with Tennessee. It was awesome. Like, that's another team like Stanford, I know there's like 80 people, 80, 85, who really care about this, but Stanford's just massively disrespected because they get back Christian McCaffrey. I don't care who's playing quarterback. They get back Christian McCaffrey.
I think they also don't care, though.
No, they don't. They don't.
Like,
but
yeah, they're not too worried about it. The Pac-12, let's see, the disrespect rankings. I'm going to put Oregon pretty high up
there.
Oregon
seems like a good candidate, yeah.
Can Oregon be disrespected, though?
Who? Not after blowing a 31-point lead in a bowl game. Hi, Dan Rubenstein.
Yeah.
UCLA, maybe?
I don't know. There's not really a Pac-12. Utah. Utah's the Pac-12 team because they're, you know, they're not even being talked about ranked. And after they won, what, 10 games or so? 9, 10 games?
Yeah, they went 10-3.
They're going to be the team that's going to yell and complain.
Okay. Man, so much disrespect.
Yeah. I'm going to say this, too. The teams that are respected, like, and want to trade down, right? Tennessee's one. I think Florida, whatever they're
Oh,
ranked,
yeah. Oh, please.
We'd be happy to trade down. South, whatever South Carolina is. If somebody's like, South Carolina will go 5-7.
Easy,
man.
Slow down there, fast and furious.
Texas? Texas would be more than happy to. Whatever you want. Here, just take it. You want to say we're going to win 3 games? That's fine.
I'll put an Arkansas on that list.
Oh yeah, just over.
They'll start in the preseason top 25. We know they'll immediately exit it and then claw their way back. Boy, I feel like they'd rather just go ahead and start out of it.
Boys, we left out a big time disrespect candidate.
Hmm.
The Iowa Hawkeyes.
Ooh. Yeah, they probably won't even be top 10 after that. You know, pretty good. 11-win season.
Oh, 12, dog. 12.
That pretty good 12-win season.
Yeah. Can I just give you, by the way, Arkansas? They start with Louisiana Tech and at TCU. They're immediately bombing out of the ring.
Yeah. Just go ahead and write it in now. Incredible surge brings Arkansas back into the top 25.
Dude, their second SEC game on October 8th is Alabama. Just go ahead, take the elevator down, man. Trade down.
I'm excited for the week one loss to La Tech because then we get to do the Skip Holtz to Texas? Question mark.
You son of a bitch.
So we're picturing like 9-4 4 for Arkansas.
But a strong finish. Just
with like an 0-4 start.
Yeah.
Not that strong a finish, but a fascinating finish. Like they'll go 2-2 in November and we'll be like, man, they're amazing.
Say one thing about your team. It's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
Is that good?
Yeah, is that good? Jason, do you have a question?
I mean that the old-timey way.
Let's see. If the grizzly bear from The Revenant, this comes to us from SmithFire13 on Twitter. If the grizzly bear from The Revenant is Baylor, what program represents Leo? First of all, two of us have seen this movie, this very, very important film. It's very moving and important film. And
we're just quoting our favorite Leonardo DiCaprio lines.
I love that part. There was one reviewer, I think it's salon.com. I was reading through the worst reviews because they're the ones I felt would most resonate with me. And this one just trashed it. They called this movie, it's like watching a Wile E. Coyote cartoon. Because just every scene is just, oh, wow, an anvil dropped on Leo's head. And watch him act his way out of it. Incredible. That took an hour. Wow, you can hear the blood. That's great acting.
Like, there's a Foley artist somewhere who made The Revenant who's sitting there like he was sitting in a studio in Burbank with Inarritu, the director, and he's got like a knife and a cantaloupe, and he goes, and Inarritu's like, no, that's not right.
The cantaloupe is too ripe.
Then it's like, you know, slightly raw watermelon. No, that's not right. It's not the sound of a knife going into a thigh for the third time. That man should get an Oscar is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that guy. The noise guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this movie's long. I honestly, while watching it, I just kept thinking I would really rather be watching The Gray.
Wow.
Wolf punching.
Oh, boy. Because
like, you're watching this movie about, you know, surviving the snow and stuff. And it's like, yeah, I could watch Liam Neeson's get it done in an hour or less, punching wolves with whiskey bottles taped to his hands. That's so much better than this. But as for the bear, yeah, if it's Baylor, then I think the Leo in this case, of course, the bear mauls Leo, and then he spends the rest of the movie recovering from the bear mauling. That's going to be every like Baylor schedule, because Baylor starts out real hot, and they tear you up, and they bite your face and stand on your head for a while, and then they kind of forget about you, and you shoot them, and you stab them in the lungs, and you both roll down a hill, and, you know, that's kind of just every Baylor season. It starts awesome, and then it ends with them sort of crushing you as you both tumble down a hill.
And Leo also sounds like a Baylor quarterback in that at the end you're like, how is he alive?
How is he still alive?
This is what the calls. Like, Baylor, like, Baylor's QB will roll up to the line, and that's his audible.
Seth Russell, your spine just broke. I'm going back out there.
Kill my boy. Kill my boy.
You should really see this movie. It's really fun. I'm serious. Yeah. It's not a good movie, but you should go see it with a friend and just make fun of it. It's a delight.
You should see it and sort of like remember what your face looked like the whole time. You're just going to make interesting faces the whole time you watch this. And like, none of them will be like delighted or impressed or anything like that. Just,
He sleeps naked inside a real horse carcass.
Yeah, and like, they really beat you over the head with like symbolism you would, you know, conjure as like a freshman. Like the part where he cuts his way into a horse and sleeps in it and comes back out. There's like just this blunt birth imagery, like he's coming out of a birth, and he's looking up and there's plants blooming, and the sun's out, like just everything is just such junior literary quality combined with like, you know, the most amazing filming that you can imagine. Like it feels like just this really beautiful adaptation of a terrible movie.
So is this going to be the funniest is the funniest part of this movie going to be if Leonardo DiCaprio also does not win an Oscar after doing all this shit?
Oh, he's not winning an Oscar.
Now, the end of the movie, I'm not going to tell you what happens, sure. Those of you who might care about this garbage movie, but the end of it is Leo looking at the camera as if to say,
love me.
Can I have my trophy now?
Yeah, whereas Tom Hardy shows up as if, and he didn't read the script. Like, that's actually true. Tom Hardy didn't read the script before he showed up.
Was there one?
Believe it or not, it's nominated, by the way, for like screenplay, which I really
for hope. Like efficiency for like a 3-hour movie mm-hmm. out of like a 3-page script.
I hope the script is actually Leo written. It'd be like Leonardo. It'd be like, you know, Hugh Glass colon, and then the line is like.
I just picture more colons, so just holding down colon, 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 colon.
Jimmy Bar.
Make a noise like a colon.
Like, I hope that's like crawls.
You cannot possibly overstate how much that noise is made in this movie.
You mostly sound like Barney from The Simpsons.
That's what
someone actually needs to put Barney in this movie.
That's the secret plot. That's actually the secret to The Revenant.
When he says, cry for me. I'm already dead.
When he says he's attacked by a bear, it actually means he just gets tragically drunk for 3 weeks. Like, he's in bad shape. He's cold as ice, and he's like, I'm hammered.
Also, Barney would absolutely
sleep. I can't believe you left him out there. Well, we had to.
We had to.
He was a little unbearable. He got really loud.
He was fucking plowed, and he was just talking about how he'd have sex with your wife. It was really, really uncalled for.
He was really fun to be around, but he was just way too loud, so we had to leave him out there by that bear.
Don't worry. The horse carcass kept him warm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a lot of things like, this goes with my Luke theory for Star Wars. There's a lot of things that can explain by this character got completely trashed.
One thing I did like about this movie was how the natives, they actually had different tribes with different languages, and all the native characters had actual motivations, and they were sort of on a quest of their own. They weren't just like antagonist backdrop characters. That's the one nice thing I'll say about this movie. That, and it's pretty.
It's very pretty. I'll also say this. The other amusing thing is that Tom Hardy appears to have just shown up with no script and just started talking.
I'm trying to place his accent because it's well done. So, and I'm trying to place which part of the South he's from.
He gives him, like, if you can imagine, the Grapes of Wrath accent from the original, like, 1930s movie. Like, that 30s version of Grapes of Wrath. That's the one he has. He has the, like, English person imagining, like, authentic frontier gibberish, right? Like, thank Parson Johnson for that bit of authentic frontier gibberish. That's exactly what Tom Hardy just walks in and starts talking about shit that's not even related to the movie, and it's not even in a Terrence Malick way. It's in like an Adult Swim way. Like, my daddy thought God was a squirrel, so he killed him and ate him. Like,
that happens.
That's not making that up.
That's a quote. But his accent is really good. I mean, of course, he's a great actor.
I'm gonna start calling this movie Tim and Barrack.
Timothy. It really is.
Ryan, you haven't even seen it. You summed it up better than he did.
Yeah, it's perfect. Tim and Barracks.
Because, like, there's so many scenes where it's like, oh, I'm looking off in the distance and there's my relatives singing to me about the spirits and stuff.
Tim and Barrack Gruesome Show. Great job.
Yeah, it's literally Tim and Barrack Awesome Show. Great job. That's the entire movie. Ryan, do you have a question you want to ask?
Yes, this question comes from Van Newell at Van Newell on Twitter. What is the worst thing a coach has ever eaten for dinner at a recruit's home? I think the answer here is going to be one of those recipes from like the 50s or 60s that you see on like a BuzzFeed list or something that is, you know, it's like a salad that involves one leaf of romaine lettuce, a banana, half a cup of mayonnaise and like cherries and olives.
Okay.
It's going to be some like extremely dated dish that has things that don't belong in it whatsoever. But this recruit's mother or grandmother is like, oh, this is my famous kill yourself salad.
Jason, what your answer?
I feel like the key here is going to be regional disparity. Like, you take a coach who's from, like, Northern California, and he, through hard luck, is a Big Ten assistant. And, like, you know, he's being served, like, piles and piles of custard or something like that, or like, you know, just really bloody beef. And this is just against everything he's ever been raised.
Is this organic? Yeah, endure. It's got carbon in it. Yeah, there's still charcoal in the middle of it.
Or like, you know, a coach from like Louisiana is in like, I don't know, Minnesota or something, and in eating, you know, blubber. I don't know. What do those people eat way up there?
Curds.
Just curds. Yeah, the curds and brandy. Yep. That's it. Curds and brandy. I'm just going to say this. I think the answer is Taco Bell. Somebody who just puts out a
bunch of... How would that happen?
Such a bunch of crap. No, because maybe they're like...
So like a Sun Belt coach is coming over. Grab a 10-taco box.
Right.
And you come over there. That's how you know you're not getting the recruits, when they got the goddamn 10-taco box
this,
out of the tank.
This is a courtesy because you're friends with our high school coach.
Because, I mean, I like some trash-ass fast food. Like Little Caesars, Little Caesars all day.
Wow, really?
Oh yeah.
So what is the worst fast food that y'all will enjoy? Is it Little Caesars for you?
It's probably Little Caesars. Honestly, like if you order Little Caesars, I'm pretty happy with it.
Okay. See, I'd go Pizza Hut, but I don't think Pizza Hut is as bad as Little Caesars, so I don't know if I'm really hitting the bar there.
Little Caesars is worse than
that. It's worse. No, I will tell you, it's worse and I enjoy it.
Yep.
I'll also say Burger King. Burger King's pretty low.
Ooh, I despise Burger King.
Burger King always feels like an imitation of something, like a photocopy of a photocopy.
How recently have you had Burger King?
Oh, though? My God. Not
About a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, I tried it a couple years ago because I remember liking it in high school, and they've totally ruined their fries. So
did you get mad at your high school self for even eating there? You're like, damn it, pass me. What'd you do to future me by eating this?
No, I was like, it's not my fault because they're the ones who changed the fries. So
that's true.
Yeah, they botched their fries. Another thing, KFC. I will not eat it. Like, it's bad. It's
KFC's
I'll eat churches before I eat KFC.
You know it's worse than KFC.
KFC is beyond bad food. KFC is like morally wrong.
You know what's worse than KFC though? Leftover KFC.
Incomprehensible.
Like room temperature KFC.
I can't even hear you right now.
What are these potatoes made of? Drywall, basically.
KFC, because you kids out there might not believe this, but back in the 80s, KFC was pretty all right. And now it's this non-food substance.
They got fucking lapped by Popeyes.
Oh, you know, Popeyes is just several furlongs ahead of them and pulling away.
Yeah, I would say Popeyes is on. That's not a guilty pleasure at all. I think all of us are proud to enjoy Popeyes every chance we get.
It will amuse me when somebody says, oh, man, you know, Popeyes is like my guilty pleasure. Kind of points you think you're earning here, sir.
Well, you know where the first franchise, not the original, but the first franchised KFC was built in?
Probably someplace terrible, am I right?
Salt Lake City.
Whoo. Like, ooh, this is spicy. It's got salt in it.
11 herbs and spices, they're all salt.
All salt. Six kinds of salt.
There's a little garlic salt.
Ooh, can I throw one more in there? Subway. Like if they come back with Subway, so
yeah.
It's bad. Let's see. That was Jason's question, was it not?
No, it was mine, but it's
fine. That was yours?
Yeah.
Okay. We gone around the horn here?
Whatever. we're giving points. Tony Reale is on the line but muted.
No, he's not.
Oh shit. It's like we've pulled a mutiny on him.
Also, sorry, Stu Mandel.
Ripper mentioned. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
I don't even know why we did it. We're just bored.
You told me to.
That was not my first suggestion.
That was your suggestion.
No, that was not my first suggestion.
No. But it happened.
Wait, so there's somebody else whose mentions you wanted Bond?
Yeah, Soledad O'Brien.
Yeah, but I couldn't find Soledad's Twitter account.
Oh,
I'm like
so lazy.
You gave up. So you typed S.
I looked.
I give up.
I looked it up. Go ahead, look up Soledad O'Brien's Twitter account.
Fine.
God, right?
God damn
it. It's something really crazy like Soledad O'Brien.
It's Soledad O'Brien! You son of
a bitch! You totally typed S and then accidentally hit the L and said, ah, forget it.
It's Soledad goddamn O'Brien.
Yeah, but it's much funnier to hit Stu Mandel because like an hour later he's like, thanks, guys? What? Soledad O'Brien wouldn't have responded.
Nah, with Mandel, he's close enough that he has to actually sort of make note that I'm not actually on her show.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what kind of horror rolls up? And she's a woman on the internet and TV. Do you know what kind of terror just comes to her doorstep on Twitter every day that she doesn't look? She wouldn't respond.
I just want her to be our friend.
Exactly. Do you know what kind of terror rolls up on her doorstep every day?
I think the way we can best be her friend is to leave her alone.
Correct.
But we're making more progress right now than we ever had.
We're lepers.
Whereas, do you know what an extra at the mentions of Stu Mandel is? Oh, it's a holiday.
Compared to
Soledad, it's like, oh, look, a new person. I'm going to get another gun.
It's like, you know, it's like a SETI.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to buy another dog to guard me in my house from people because I'm a famous woman. A dog made of guns. This is a good idea. Whereas Stu Mandel's like, well, look, another reader. Thanks, y'all. It's great.
It's fine.
But yeah, that's, I believe I do have one more question I want to answer if we have time.
Go for it.
Think so.
Which movie TV show has the, this is from Probably Monty at Probably Monty on Twitter. What movie, TV show, et cetera, has the widest gap between your enjoyment and critical acclaim? Now, this can go either way. It can be a show that you really enjoy that doesn't get good reviews, or it can be a show that gets great reviews that you have no feeling or affection for whatsoever.
So we're focusing on shows?
You know, movie, TV show, et cetera. I imagine album, if you have an album or an artist.
Oh, God.
That's critically acclaimed that you're like, I don't feel them, or someone who's like, they're trash, and you're like, actually, I think they're pretty good. Who would that be?
Man, this stuff. I don't know where to begin because, like, most critically acclaimed things I don't really care for.
Okay, for instance?
I mean, if we stuck with just shows, let's see, Mad Men, Justified, Game of Thrones. I mean, honestly, I could go on. I don't care about many, many of these shows that everyone likes. And I've tried, and it's, you know, they're.
Okay, so you do not feel, for instance, Justified at all?
No, and I'm told I didn't get far enough into it that it gets away from sort of the procedural, like the, oh, we're CSI with Hills thing, and becomes more of an actual episodic story.
Mm-hmm.
Is this true?
Definitely, definitely. There's an arc for every season.
Okay, because at first it's just like, oh, he's going to solve the mystery and smile with his hat on, and like, okay, I don't need this.
Okay, it gets.
I saw the last episode, just that and Lost are the two where I watched the last episode and just considered the book finished.
Okay, because because you're wrong about that, but that's not your fault. So we'll let you go on that.
I mean, you know, the first season, they didn't do a good job, so.
Ryan?
So I'm looking at IMDb of the most popular of the highest rated movies, and I'm trying to find one that I just.
That's just a good idea.
Fucking hated.
How about anything directed by Inarritu?
You know what movie I just.
I got some more shit to say about that, dude.
2001 just didn't do shit for me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, man,
Hal is like.
I know. Yeah. I know. I don't.
Hal is my homeboy.
I think it has good parts, but like, man.
It's got a lot of parts. Yeah,
it should have been like a 37-minute movie.
It does. It's really long. If somebody's like, that movie's entirely too long and it has a weird ending, I'm like, you're totally right.
Yeah, I just. I can't. I'm not down for it. I'm sorry.
I agree. And I love that movie. But it's also a complete mess. I will give it that.
Looking at Metacritic album releases, all-time highest, the first one that we get down to that I hate, Spencer, I know this is one for you as well, or at least just completely don't get, is Bob Dylan.
Oh, man, fuck Bob Dylan.
Bob Dylan is I don't shit. even really recognize it as music. It's
people are like, oh, he has such great lyrics. I'm like, well, that's what reading's for.
Yeah, so print them out and
it's great. You can read them separately.
I mean,
I don't think they'll hold up as well.
The best Bob Dylan song is "It Ain't Me" as done by Johnny and June Carter Cash.
Yeah, exactly. As done by somebody else.
The song literally about not being Bob Dylan. Entitled "It Ain't Me."
Yeah, it's a great song. It's about, like, go listen to someone else. That's what the best Bob Dylan song is. Like, I grew up reading Rolling Stone and I hate it. And I hate it to this day because anytime that Neil Young or Bob Dylan would put out anything, they're like, 4 stars. 4 stars is the starting point. It might be 5. It's crazy. You're like, this is a tape of Bob Dylan suffering food poisoning in a Las Vegas hotel in 1987. It contains no music and it's just Bob Dylan retching on the floor and farting and excreting things. And you're like, oh, 4 stars. Moving. Just it's a graceful effort. Just a man fighting the elements. 4 stars. Fuck Bob Dylan. Absolutely sucks. Everyone loves Dylan. I've never gotten a single goddamn song of his. He has one album that's semi-decent. It's Nashville Skyline. And that's because the session players are all better than he is.
Yeah, otherwise on this list, there's some, I don't know most of this stuff. There's some like indie rock stuff that I've heard that's terrible. Animal Collective.
Oh yeah,
is, Animal is very bad.
Oh, they're bad. They blow. I know. They sound like an anxiety attack.
Yeah, that all that kind of thing. I don't understand why anyone would pretend to like it. I'm not even gonna accept that people actually like it. I just don't get why people would pretend to like it.
Yeah, it's bad. I will say this going back to movies that people find really, really inspiring and great that really aren't that great. Fight Club. Never. Sorry.
That's fair.
It's like the weakest idea of transgressive I've ever watched.
I think liking that after high school.
Yeah.
Like if you're in high school, like, yeah, sure, that can inform your entire worldview. But once you, you know, actually, I don't know. Do anything at all with your life, you sort of have to leave that one behind.
Yeah, I will also say that anybody who is really super into like A Clockwork Orange, I love Kubrick. Something's wrong with you if you're really into A Clockwork Orange. And I don't mean in a cool way. I just mean that movie kind of sucks. It's long, doesn't get to the point. It takes a little too long on those rape scenes. Lingers a little too fondly on them. So, yeah, Clockwork Orange blows. That movie sucks. In addition to that, Lost sucks. Never got it. Watch the last episode, though. Last episode was great because I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, and if you do that, if you watch only last episode of Lost, you're the least angry person in the country
And it makes a ton of sense, too.
It makes as much sense for you as it did for everyone else.
It was great going into that and coming like, oh man, this was awesome. Look, he's dying next to that dog. That's how I want to go, next to a big old friendly dog. That'd be so great. Everyone else is like, it's crap. And you're like, no, this is delightful.
No, it was pretty good.
This is great. Folk music. Just folk music and folk music period.
Wow.
To hell with all of it.
Wow. To hell with the entire genre. If you walk into my life with an acoustic guitar and sit down and want to tell me about the working man, I'm kicking your goddamn teeth in. Get out of my home.
Okay.
Yeah. No use for any of it.
Do we have any examples of the opposite direction about like critical trash that we're like, no, it's fine?
2010. The sequel to 2001.
Oh my God.
Love that movie.
Jesus. I'm sorry.
Absolutely love that movie. I think that movie's awesome. That movie's better than the original.
Holy shit.
I will go that far. It was a delight.
You know, I only remember because for some reason we were talking about this in the office the other day because we work hard. Waterworld is not as shitty as it was claimed to be at the time. I'm not going to say it's like the most amazing movie, but it's got jet skis and guns and Dennis Hopper just being mean. It's fine. I don't know why it was so critically reviled.
I don't know why either. I think probably because it was just kind of a confusing concept.
Sure.
I I mean, it is kind of a confusing concept, but that doesn't mean it was bad.
No, it was fine. I did not regret spending time watching it.
I can't think of that with music. Music's a little harder.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, figure out the album, right? Like, the album. Because there's some people that are like, that album's trash. Like, to be honest, when somebody, like, when Nas came out with bad albums, I never thought the bad ones were as bad as they were supposed to be, and the good ones were never as good. And people are like, Nas is spitting that truth. I'm like, yeah, I still didn't have a fact checker.
Yeah, I can't really tell the difference. All the beats are pretty bad.
They're all pretty much the same.
and Nas clearly wrote all the choruses, which is kind of the whole problem with Nas.
Exactly. You know, let's see. Other ones that are like
Move? I just scanned the IMDb bottom 100, and I don't think I've seen any of these.
Well, yeah, because it's a lot of directed DVD.
Because I have excellent taste in film.
So that's because a bad movie is really bad. Hero. It's like unwatchably bad.
I'm going to throw one out that I know you're going to hate. I think Billy Joel is fine.
Here's the deal.
I do. Like, it's akin to just eating a Little Debbie snack where you're like, yeah, I know this isn't very complicated or good for me, and it could exist at any point in time, and it has no tethering to anything meaningful, and my life is not better or worse for having this individual Little Debbie snack. But that, I don't think it's shit. I think it's just fine.
It's wallpaper, right? Like, yeah. It's just, you're like, it's fine. It's like stale mini bar candy. Like, it's fine. It has its purpose. But the problem is its persistence. Billy Joel, if you turn on classic rock, if you're just flipping around the radio and you don't have something to plug into the aux cord.
Sure.
It's everywhere, and it's always this, like, my life is the most irritating song ever. And I have to sing along with it. That's the like pleasure and torture of Billy Joel as a musical presence, right? I can't think of who would be equivalent to that in like this current day and age. Maybe Maroon 5. Maroon 5. I always know the lyrics to Maroon 5.
It's exact. We've discussed this before. This is the exact genre of this music is music that you can be riding in the car with your mother. And you both agree that this is fine. This is like the Venn diagram where you're both cool.
So people thought I Am Legend was really bad?
Oh, I Am Legend was fine.
Apparently they thought it was really bad. I thought it was pretty good. I would give it a better than okay.
Did you like I Am Legend better or The Revenant better?
I like everything better than The Revenant.
See, I kind of like The Revenant, but not for the right reasons.
Would you have liked The Revenant better if Billy Joel had been playing the starring role?
Yes.
I'm going to come out. It was supposed to be the biggest bomb of the 1980s. I love Howard the Duck.
That's kind of had like a cultural resurgence too, right?
I know. I think people got it wrong. It's just a crap movie. But it's a crap movie like a bad hamburger you eat at 1 in the morning. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Right? I will also say this. I don't think Batman and Robin is an unpleasant experience.
I think it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad, but it's not totally unpleasant.
The problem
okay?
is Batman and Robin has gotten a lot of – I think what a lot of that was people realizing that Batman Forever was terrible, and they sort of – it was a delayed reaction. So all of their anger that they wanted to put onto Batman Forever but didn't get around to in time, that got dumped on Clooney.
Which one was Batman or – Batman and Robin was the really, really silly one.
Yeah, with Mr. Freeze.
They just said, let's not try to be cool or tough at all. Let's just
have puns.
Damn it.
Yeah, let's make it like an expensive version of the 50s show.
It's the Mike Prada of Batman movies.
I will say this, Glitter ain't bad. I mean, it's a bad movie, but I'll watch it.
It's got to be better than Crossroads.
I mean, it's got to be better than Cars 2.
Wow.
Cars 2 was shit. Pixar just rolled that out there, like you can torture a car to death on screen in a kid's movie. Like, that's a thing you can do.
That happened?
Oh, yeah, there's a torture scene in Cars 2 where they blow up a car. They, like, blow up a car's engine, his heart.
That's why you can't, like, let Dick Cheney do punch-up.
I'm sorry. I mean enhanced entertainment.